Chapter 89. Wellington, just so. The order is unchanged. Adieu, but only till a later hour today. I see it is 1 o'clock. Wellington and Richmond go out of the alcove and join the hostess, Brunswick's black figure being left there alone. He bends over the map for a few seconds.
Spirit of the years, O Brunswick, Duke of Deathwounds. Even as he for whom thou wearst that filial weedery was waylaid by my tipstaff 9 years since, so thou this day shalt feel his friendless tap, and join thy sire.
Brunswick, starting up, I am stirred by inner words, as 'twere my father's angel calling me, that prelude to our death my lineage know. He stands in a reverie for a moment, then, bidding adieu to the Duchess of Richmond and her daughter, goes slowly out of the ballroom by a side door.
Duchess, the Duke of Brunswick bore him gravely here. His sable shape has stuck me all the eve as one of those romantic presences we hear of seldom see.
Wellington, phlegmatically,
romantic, well, it may be so. Times often, ever since the late Duke's death, his mood has tinged him thus. He is of those brave men who danger see, and seeing fronted, not of those, less brave but counted more, who face it sightlessly. Young officer, to partner, the general slip away. I, love, must take the cobbled highway soon. Some hours ago the French seized Charleroi, so they loom nigh.
Partner, uneasily, which tells me, that the hour you draw your sword looms nigh us likewise.
Young officer, some are saying here we fight this very day. Rumors all shaped fly round like cockchafers.
Suddenly there echoes in the ballroom a long-drawn metallic purl of sound, making all the company start.
Transcriber's note. There follows in musical notation 5 measures for side drum. Ah, there it is, just as I thought. They are beating the general.
The loud roll of side drums is taken up by other drums further and further away, till the hollow noise spreads all over the city. Dismay is written on the faces of the women. The island non-commissioned officers and privates march smartly down the ballroom and disappear.
Spirit of the pities, discern you stepping out in front of them that figure of a pale drum major kind, or fugleman who wore a cold grimace. Spirit of the years, he was my old fiend Death, in rarest trim, the occasion favoring his husbandry.
Spirit of the pities, are those who marched behind him, then, to fall?
Spirit of the years, eh, all well nigh, ere time of our 80.
Partner, surely this cruel call to instant war spares space for 1 dance more, that memory may store when you are gone, while I sad me.
Wait, wait and weep. Yes, one there is to be.
Spirit ironic, methinks flirtation grows too tender here. Country dance, the prime of life, a favorite figure at this period. The sense of looming tragedy carries emotion to its climax. All the younger officers stand up with their partners, forming several figures of 15 or 20 couples each. The air is ecstasizing, and both sexes abandon themselves to the movement. Nearly half an hour passes before the figure is danced down. Smothered kisses follow the conclusion. The silence is broken from without by more long, hollow rolling notes, so near that they thrill the window panes.
Several, 'tis the assemble. Now, then, we must go.
The officers bid farewell to their partners, and begin leaving in 2s and 3s. When they are gone, the women mope and murmur to each other by the wall, and listen to the tramp of men and slamming of doors in the streets without.
Lady Hamilton Dalrymple, the Duke has borne him gaily here tonight. The youngest spirit scarcely capped his own.
Dalrymple, may be that, finding himself blade to blade with Bonaparte at last, his blood gets quick.
French lancers of the guard were seen at Frassin's last midnight, so the clash is not far off.
They leave.
Delancey, to his wife, I take you to our door, and say goodbye, and go thence to the Duke's and wait for him. In a few hours we shall be all in motion towards the scene, of what we cannot tell. You, dear, will haste to Antwerp till it's past, as we have arranged.
They leave.
Wellington, to Richmond, now I must also go, and snatch a little snooze ear harnessing. The Prince and Brunswick have been gone some while. Richmond walks to the door with him. Exit Wellington, Richmond returns. Duchess, to Richmond, some of these left renew the dance, you see. I cannot stop them, but with memory odd of those late gone, of where they are gone, and why, it smacks of heartlessness. Richmond, let me, youth comes not twice to fleet mortality.
The dancing, however, is fitful and spiritless, few but civilian partners being left for the ladies. Many of the latter prefer to sit in reverie while waiting for their carriages.
Spirit of the pities, when those stout men-at-arms drew forward there, I saw a light grimacing shadow march and pirouette before no few of them. Some of themselves beheld it, some did not. Spirit of the years, which were so ushered? Spirit of the pities, Brunswick, who saw and knew, one also moved before Sir Thomas Picton, who coolly conned, and dryly spoke to it. Another danced in front of Ponsonby, who failed of heeding his. Delancey, Hay, Gordon, and Cameron, and many more were footmanned by like phantoms from the ball. Spirit of the years, multiplied shimmerings of my Protean friend, who means to couch them shortly. Thou wilt eye many fantastic molds of Emir Long, such as, bethink thee, oft hast died before. Spirit of the pities, I have too often.
The attenuated dance dies out, the remaining guests depart, the musicians leave the gallery and depart also. Richmond goes to a window and pulls back one of the curtains. Dawn is barely visible in the sky, and the lamps indistinctly reveal that long lines of British infantry have assembled in the street. In the irksomeness of waiting for their officers with marching orders, they have lain down on the pavements, where many are soundly sleeping, their heads on their knapsacks and their arms by their side.
Duchess, poor men. Sleep waylays them. How tired they seem. Richmond, they'll be more tired before the day is done. A march of 18 miles beneath the heat, and then to fight a battle ere they rest, is what for shades. Well, it is more than bedtime, but little sleep for us, or anyone tonight in Brussels.
He draws the window curtain, and goes out with the Duchess. Servants enter and extinguish candles. The scene closes in darkness.
Scene 3, Charleroi. Napoleon's quarters, the same midnight.
Napoleon is lying on a bed in his clothes. In consultation with Soult, his chief of staff, who is sitting near, he dictates to his secretary orders for the morrow. They are addressed to Kellerman, Drouet, Lobbet, Gerard, and other of his marshals. Soult goes out to dispatch them. The secretary resumes the reading of reports. Presently Marshal Ney is announced. He is heard stumbling up the stairs, and enters.
Napoleon, Ney, why come you back? Have you secured the all-important crossways? Safely sconced yourself at Quatre Bras? Ney, not, sire, as yet. For, marching forwards, I heard gunnery boom, and, fearing that the Prussians had engaged you, I stood at pause. Just then, Napoleon, my charge was this. Make it impossible at any cost that Wellington and Blücher should unite. As it's from Brussels that the English come, and from Namur the Prussians. Quatre Bras. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.